Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Bajla, and I would like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
My name is Future Priest Adiah Hawks, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. I have a privilege and honor to present to you the Future Priest and Priestess is now entering the sanctuary. I have a privilege and honor to present to you for our first speaker, Future Priest Yesher and Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May peace of God be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title of my sermon today is Let's Get Ready to Keep the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. Today is the Holy Sabbath today. The seventh day of the week is also the seventh day of the Roman month. Did you know that there is only 55 days left until Yahshua's memorial? And just 56 days until Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. Now that you know, are you excited? I am very excited and so joyful. I would like to speak to you today about the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, so all of us can stop preparing ourselves together as a family. Let's all turn to Leviticus 23, verse 5 through 8. We'll talk about all of Yahweh's feasts, found on page 101. And it says, on the 14th of the first moon, between the two evenings, Yahweh's Passover sacrifices to be killed. And on the 15th day of the same moon is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. To Yahweh's 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it. An offering made by fire means that we zealously do the work of Yahweh, whatever we are assigned to do by the house of Yahweh. Convocation means to call people together, to gather together. A holy convocation means that Yahweh ordained this gathering and spoke about it in the Holy Scriptures. Since only Yahweh can make a day holy, now follow me to Exodus 12, verse 18 through 20, found on page 54, so we can learn a little more about this great feast. In the first moon, on the 14th day of the moon, at evening, you must eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the moon at evening. 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether a stranger or a native of the land. You must eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. You must eat unleavened bread. Now I would like to read to you from Let the Torah Also Come to Me book on page 45. It says, Passover and unleavened bread. Leviticus 23:6-8 begins on the 14th of the first moon at sunset, which is a holy convocation. All leaven must be removed from all other dwellings. Unleavened bread must be eaten for 7 days. The seventh day is a holy convocation. We must keep this feast. And at the place Yahweh chooses to establish his name. Please turn over to Deuteronomy 12:5. And it says, Deuteronomy 12:5. So we cannot see where Yahweh tells us to go in these last days. It's on page 157 in the book of Yahweh. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place Yahweh, your father, shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. Can you please show slide 1? The Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread is scheduled to begin on April 4th at sundown, depending on the sighting of the green ears of barley and the first new moon. Can you please show slide number 2? Remember I told you, there are only 55 days left until Yahshua's memorial on April 3rd. Number 55 in Strong means to roll, so let's get rolling now and prepare for Yahshua's memorial in 55 days, because Passover and the Unleavened Bread starts in 56 days, and no rolls will be available at the great house of Yahweh for a whole 7 days. May Yahweh bless you. Your understanding, I would like to turn it over to the network for the future priest for play.
Future priest White Buffalo.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Why Go Back to the Ways of God Worship? And we need to ask ourselves this question. Why do we desire to go back to the very things that learning from the house of Yahweh we are now ashamed of? If you turn to page 912 in your book of Yahweh, that's Galatians 4:9. It says, but now knowing Yahweh, or rather having been known by Yahweh, why do you return to the powerless gods Elohim and bow down to sacred poles? Why do you want to be in bondage to them all over again? If you would turn to 2 Kefa 2:22 on page 962, it says, let's start at verse 20. It says, now if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh and the Savior Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled in them and overcome by them. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy laws delivered to them. There has befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow is washed only to wallow again in the mire. If you would turn to Proverbs 26, verse 11, on page 513, it says, like a dog returning to his vomit is a fool returning to his folly. And the definition of the word fool from the Webster's New World Dictionary on page 291 is a stupid or foolish person. A stupid, foolish, or silly person. And in Proverbs 1:7, the definition of a fool is a morally perverse person. And Luke 24, verse 25, it tells us that we are a fool if we do not believe what pastor has revealed to us that has been written in the laws and the prophets and Yahshua about what this world is doing at this time. If we would turn to page 2 in your book of Yahweh, that's Genesis 3, verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was desirable for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Satan makes the sin look desirable. With the Christmas lights and the toys and the candy and the gifts, it may look desirable to you, but the curses of sin are not desirable. On your own time, if you could read Genesis chapter 19, well, let's turn there. Because it's a great example of how easy it is to fall into sin. It's on page 13. Let's turn over to page 14 and let's read verse 26. It says, but his wife went after the gods, Elohim, they left behind, and she became a servant of sin. And if you look at side note C, it says, traditionally translated so. Yesenia's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, page 573, shows this word as correctly translated servant. And she didn't turn into a pillar of salt. She didn't turn into a salt block for the cows to lick, or she may have been beneficial. Lot's wife did not turn into a pillar of salt, but she did experience the curses of sin that came from her turning back. If you would turn to Luke chapter 17, Yahshua warns us about falling back into sin. He warns us about the traps of sin that is out there. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives that were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In the same way as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the very day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That is the way it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his belongings are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And he who is in the field, let him in the same way not come back. And verse 32, he tells us to remember Lot's wife. Remember how she turned back to the sin. So Noah was there at that time period, and most people think that Noah was some old guy that was collecting some big animals on this huge ship. But if we would turn to 2 Kefa 2 verse 5, we can see what he really was. On page 962, it says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. So he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the unrighteous, those who are lawbreakers. And a lawbreaker is one who does not keep the 613 laws of righteousness. And righteousness, as described in Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, is when we keep all the laws that Yahweh has set for us. If we would turn to Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, it says, "How then can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Noah was that preacher. And how can they preach unless they are sent?" So there it tells us that Noah was the one sent at that time. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring glad tidings of righteous things." So Noah was the one sent at that time, and some of the people did not listen to him. Remember those two words, turn back. If we would turn to Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 17. It says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction. And that I command you this day, to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go over to possess. But if your heart turns away," notice, "but if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to gods, Elohim, to worship them by serving them." Notice, Lot's wife served the gods. She turned away. If you would turn to Acts 7, verse 39. It says, "Whom our fathers would not..." Let's start at verse 37. It says, "This is that Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yahweh your Father will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you will hear. This is he who was among the called out ones in the wilderness with the Amalek who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers to receive the doctrine of life to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but they rejected him. So in their hearts they turned back to Egypt." We can be sitting in the sanctuary at this time right now and still be in Egypt. Our heart can still be in Egypt. If we are focused on the things of this world at this time, if we are focused on the ways of this world, learning about and thinking about the things of this world, playing on gadgets and things like that, we are in this world. Our hearts are in Egypt. So let's ask ourselves this question. Why go back to the ways of God worship? Because all it brings is curses. This is what we should follow. If you would turn to page 730 in your book of Yahweh. That's Matthew 4, verse 4. It says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." This is what Yahshua did. He lived by every word that came out of Yahweh's mouth. He chose not to go to the God worship. He chose Yahweh's way instead. In conclusion, if you would turn to Revelation 18, verse 4. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her." Remember what Pastor said about that word, another. He said that it wasn't another Malak. It was the same Malak. It said, "And I heard the same voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins, and so you do not receive of her plagues." Yahweh is warning us to come out of this world, brethren. Don't be like this. Could I have my first slide? Don't be like this. Don't be like the dog that licks up its own vomit. This is how we look in Yahweh's eyes when we go back to the ways of this world. And look, Satan makes that sin look desirable. See how that dog is licking its chops for that vomit? Don't be like, can you show slide 2, please? Don't be like the sow that's wallowing in the mire, that after it's washed off with the hose, goes back to the mire. Don't be like that. Don't be like those dogs and those hogs. Can you turn over to page 198 in your Book of Yahweh for my last scripture? Yahshua 24, verse 15. It says, "But if it seems evil for you to serve Yahweh, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods Elohim your father served on the other side of the river Euphrates, or of the gods Elohim of the Amorites, in whose land you now live. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. But as for Yisrael and his seed, we will serve Yahweh." Set your mind in advance to accept the laws, live by them, and take part in the kingdom of Yahweh. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today in the news, of course, we see the world falling apart around us, literally. The first video that we're going to show in the news is showing how a high-speed video they've taken, the scientists have, and it shows how the smell of rain begins. And the scientists say now we can see exactly how raindrops create petrichor, and that's the name given to the smell kicked up by light rain. And it says they, being the scientists, deployed a high-speed cameras to watch water droplets hit surfaces and saw them trap tiny air bubbles. Now those air bubbles created an aerosol is coming to the surface, and the video will show it. And it says those aerosols can carry with them all the compounds we smelled, including some microbes. How the microbes are getting in the atmosphere. Now, of course, they're illuminating these microbes and showing how they can be delivered in the environment and possibly to humans. So that smell of rain may be more than you think. There's a lot more to it. Also, there's an article showing Dartmouth College is trying to ban all hard liquors, and they're trying to get a class created to prevent acts of violence, sexual violence specifically. Now, they're trying to teach character education. They're trying to take a jab at this, but they're missing the very basic rules that will create a positive environment. So they're slipping here because they don't have a solid foundation first. Without that foundation, it won't last. And then President Obama is speaking about how they're pushing to help Ukraine have a freedom to choose. Now, listen to what President Obama says, and I really think that he's being led, of course, by a person who is on a white horse that seems righteous, but he's not. And this freedom to choose, of course, is it's pick your poison. Choose which way you want to die, because there's no life in the democracy that's being offered at all. None at all. And then there's an interview on one of the news channels that came out showing how one of the chief of staffs of Colin Powell makes a comment that it's the same old passing of Christianity and crusades, even if by bayonets and guns, bayonets and guns. Then Obama actually has referred to what's taking place as crusades, and he's being ridiculed greatly for it. And listen, one of the preachers making a comment, and you'll see how much that these preachers today actually even know the history of what took place. And then, of course, it gets into the leader of France and Germany. They're heading to Russia, Ukraine, trying to solve or create a peace agreement. And then, of course, when they go there, they're returning to Washington, D.C. And remember what Pastor has taught us. When these leaders go to visit, listen and watch what becomes of it, because they go to visit each other. And then the doomsday clock, the infamous doomsday clock, has been set ahead to 2:00 to 12:00. And that's supposed to show the think tank is showing how close they think we are to nuclear destruction. If we could go ahead and please play the news. everyone to please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, we got a crowd today. Praise Yahweh. Ooh. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm in a hurry to get started. Everything I heard here this morning was very encouraging coming from these young boys. And next week you're going to be greatly surprised what's coming forth from the young girls. From 5 to 90, young girls 5 to 90 years old. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The water droplets. I don't know if you understood why we were showing that, but it shows if you'd get you a dictionary of microbiology, that would help a great deal if you're studying this. Now, the boys in the schools, that is our schools, they if they don't have one, we've got one available. I'll be glad to give you. Anyway, you need it. But the water droplets, if you saw how they pounced and spread, and then if you look closely above it, you'd see how they go back up into the atmosphere. And, of course, science knows now that they're carrying microorganisms with them, bacteria with them. Whatever we have created here, they're carrying it with them. If they hit your nose or face, your lips, that'll mean more to you when I get through here today. And coming out of this world will mean more to you if you'll just pay attention. We're facing some of the worst yet of death and disease, starvation, and then, of course, the nuclear activity that will take place the last thing. If you're familiar, I know you are, but we need to rehearse just a little bit here in Matthew 24 of this, the prophecies. The reason we know Matthew 24, we see the pestilence, which means the disease epidemics, and how they're spread. They're not just kept with the person who created them, and Yahweh shows us how we create these things. They said yesterday on the news that the pollen was up 20%. It's the highest ever in record right now, pollen. They don't know why. I could tell them why. Of course, maybe you should whisper it in their ear. They've killed off so many of our bees and mosquitoes that carry this pollen, that pick up this pollen as it comes out of the trees and take care of it. But, of course, they want to kill off everything, you know. They kill everything in their sight. They're murderers of everything, men, insects, everything. And it doesn't come into their mind at all that they're killing off something that Yahweh created. It's not in their house bothering them, you know. You know, that's totally a different matter when they invade your territory. But most of these things are not invading territory. Well, they got diseases. Well, who gave them the diseases to carry? You know, the Catholic Church did. They talk democracy, and you know, President Obama, he's wanting to bring peace. The people who are talking democracy, it's great for everyone to have freedom of religion. The only thing, religion, only certain types of religion are taught. And of course, it was forbidden for over 1,500 years to teach the book of Yahweh, the thing that would bring peace. They took it away from the people. And now the very one that took it away from the people and got the people so stupid they don't even know what the Scripture says. Now, they never read their Holy Scripture, so they don't know what it says. They don't know the great wisdom they're passing up here that would guide them away from sickness and disease of global warming, as they call it. Global disease is what they have out there in the atmosphere. It's causing a lot of things. The latest on the news, and I wouldn't say this, I hate to even say it, but, you know, I kept wondering, how is it being transformed to ocean waters inside sea life that are dying? Well, they had it on RC this week of people that had seals captive and had love affairs with them, they called it. That's what they were calling it. And, of course, this stuff is taken back to the sea waters. And now we have coral reef, we have fish with it. You know, in their bodies, they're dying. This is the kind of picture we've painted ourselves by sin, by living a sinful life. These things are in our bodies right now. And as science says, once you get them, you can't get rid of them. It's there in your body forever. Well, it's not forever, but Yahweh is going to change that. But we're having to put up with it. And of course, we've come out of sin. We've stopped sinning, but we're still getting it. I'll show you how today, Yahweh willing. But you got these pestilence that they call them. These pestilence that they're pests, yes. And of course, they're bothering you right now. Everybody's got them. Aches and pains are coming here and there. Cancer's growing in your bodies. Infection in your feet and legs and stomach and in your gut, it's growing. If you're not aware of it right now, you will be very soon. You're going to experience this big time. If you have it, if you would just pay attention to other people that have it and question them or talk about it, and you won't want it. And sympathize with these people and know that you're next. If you don't have it, you're next. Unless you can get close enough to Yahweh to keep it out of your body. You can, if you will, if you'll come out of this world, as Yahweh says for us to. But here in this chapter, the Savior showed you so many things here. The disease epidemics is one. The natural disasters that science, everybody in the world is talking about now. They can't get a rain and get a flood and hail storms and everything like that, but they can't get a natural rain anymore. That's long gone, they say. We're living in a normal world now. This has become the norm, they say. It's normal for you to have a body full of diseases, gut cramping and aching and feet swelling and everything you got, your teeth rotting. Did you know that your teeth rotting is a sexually transmitted disease? That's what it comes from? Yes. Everything you got that starts dying in your body, dying you will die, Yahweh said. Well, you're causing it. He said, don't do this, or dying you will die. Well, dying you are dying. It may be that Yahweh will allow you to escape it if you would start sympathizing with those who got it and know you're next. If you don't, it is going to come upon you, maybe very quickly. And you're going to find out. He called you here to be a witness. He didn't call you here to lay around, watch television, push buttons on a telephone. He called you to witness what is going on in this world and to turn from it and build your mind to where you'll never want it in the world again. In verse 29, we see it's going to lead to nuclear war. And of course, you can see from the news each week here we show. You can see from the news that nuclear war is very close at hand right now. It was such an odd thing yesterday. They had these new cars. And I know you've heard of computer hacking and how they shut down Sony film. And then they're getting into the banks. They're getting into the grocery stores and dry good stores and taking information. What do they want the information for? Well, you're going to find out very, very soon. But yesterday they had this car, and a woman got in her car, and she couldn't drive it. She couldn't open the door. She was locked in. Then all of a sudden, the car started up and went to moving, driving around in the parking lot. She couldn't control it. She was helpless. What was taking place, a man with a computer in another car close in the parking lot was driving her car for her with his computer. And if you've studied what's taking place on the news about computer hacking, you know that our nuclear bombs and nuclear ships and a $7 billion fighter ship is all run by computer. And they've already proved, and they said, we can. And they're having classes now. They actually have classes. Not in health, not in peace, not the peaceful solution, but how to hack into the government's computers and from there run the show. Now, these same people's minds are already sick. I'll show you how it got that way. You should know by now. I know all of you here know that. But, of course, we're speaking. When I speak right now, it's going global. It's going all around the world. I was going to show you that. There's so many of these huge companies, these huge news companies. Here's one that's running our article that says, this is the article, Biblical Instructions Work Better Than Pharmaceuticals, says Israel Hawkins. Now that just one of these big news companies has reached 51,804,000 people with this story. So we're praise Yahweh, and there's a bunch of them. It's I'd take too long to show you all of them. This one this week, if I got it, I hope I do. There is a set of rules, yes, and this one is going big time. It's really the numbers are clicking while you're watching it on clicking the news media clicking onto that. The numbers are there on the screen as we was watching earlier, and they were clicking and counting. I have here 47,000. Now, that was at 8-something. By 9-something, it was 51,000. So that's how fast it's clicking, going up. So, and this is, there is a set of rules all nations can follow to bring world peace in new open letter. Well, that's our job, of course. Democracy, as I was going to say a while ago, the Catholic Church is preaching democracy. She's not following democracy. If she'd have been following democracy, she'd have let the people who wanted the Book of Yahweh, who wanted to keep the laws of peace, safety and health, the laws of Yahweh, she would have let them do it. She don't want democracy. Democracy allows people freedom of speech, freedom of choice, of religion, and so forth, as President Barack Obama said. The Catholic Church has always forced her religion. Always. Ever since the days that the Nimrod system was created, it was created for that purpose. Terrorizing the world, bringing the men as slaves to work for corporations that they owned. Right now, I think it's 7% of the people own 90% of the wealth. I believe that's right. I just looked at it a few days ago. But they say in another few years, 3% of the people will own 90% of the wealth. 3%. That don't leave much for the poor, does it? That Pope Francis pretends that he cares about. If you just know them by their fruits, you can see what they're doing. They're not bringing democracy. They're not bringing freedom of religion. They even take their own courts and their own counties. Their own counties, if a person comes in teaching Yahweh's laws, they will take their own judges and police department and try, and even their own government, to try to get rid of them. Yes, and they do. Sometimes they shoot them, sometimes they burn them to death. It's not a freedom of religion. It's freedom to worship their religion. That's what they're making it to be. It's all a crooked mess. It's just like the Nimrod system of terrorism, where it's created by force, and Yeshua said, you will not do that. You will not be like that. If you notice, he said, if you notice, these people rule by force. And those who are ruling by force, they have one higher than them that's ruling them by force, which is the city that sits on seven hills. Your scripture tells you that, shows you that. And Yahweh says in those same scriptures, don't do this, or you're going to bring sickness and disease upon yourself, and it will start attacking your body, and dying you will die. Well, that's what we see, and then Yahweh says it's going to get worse. In verse 21 and 22, we see the Savior said, this is going to get worse. It's going to be the worst ever. You better believe it. You better start turning to Yahweh now. If you don't, you will experience it. You may be too late to receive eternal life. If you would make up your mind right now to turn from sin and not be a part of it, touch not the unclean, then maybe Yahweh will allow you into the kingdom. There's very little time left. In verse 11 and 12, he says the false prophets is going to bring this, many of them, many false prophets. Well, you got them all over the world. There's only one place that offers the laws of salvation, and that's the house of Yahweh, that Yahweh said in the last days, I will establish my house. Now, the last days, what is that? Well, he tells you in verse 33 and 34, it's the last generation, when we will have nuclear bombs that can darken the sun. I brought this out many times. Knowledge had to be increased in this generation, and it started in 1934. What a coincidence that 1934 would be the date. That's really a coincidence, right? It's quite a coincidence that I was born in 1934. And 62, we started going around the world, reaching out from the knowledge that was increased. 62. And our great elder brought this out, a great priest, just recently, showing you those numbers and what they meant. And then the nuclear bomb. Well, when was that started? Isn't it a coincidence that this, what he's talking about in verse 29 and saying 33 and 34, it's going to be the last generation? Isn't it a coincidence that it started in 1934, the nuclear bomb, the knowledge increase, and a man being born 1934 that would bring verse 14 to you? And you say, I'm still such a fool that I don't believe it? I say, yeah, you are. Only fools. Well, the fools don't know the scriptures. The scriptures were taken away from them, kept away from them for many, many years. Then it was authorized by King James to let it out, but with certain variations to it. like the King James Version. He authorized it, yes, to go out without the name Yahweh and Yahshua, so you're still worshiping gods when you follow it completely, even though if you look closely, you'll find out that his name was given, and that they're trying to figure it out. Even the King James Version said Jehovah. Well, that will clue anybody in that there's something wrong here. And then you look up the word Lord, and it means rabbi, dead rabbi, not just rabbi, but dead rabbi, the word Lord. So they're worshiping the dead rabbis, and they're worshiping the demons, as Revelation said. And they're bringing what we see there in 21 and 22, the worst time ever. Now, all of those things have come to pass. You can see them, as he said, when you see these things, meaning you see them. You saw them coming, and now they're here. Well, in Micah 4, Yahweh offers salvation. Salvation. You know, he offered this to Adam and Eve, remember, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of righteousness. That's what he's offering today. But Micah 4, 1 through 3, and then Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. He says, in the last days, I will establish my house, and it'll teach my ways, and the nations will flow to it. And that's what's going to take place. If you could see the interest and the people saying, why didn't we have this before? Well, of course, you could tell them. Well, it was taken away from you. It's like the girl that asked the Pope the other day, why does God allow little children to be used as prostitutes? And the Pope could not answer him. I answered him. The letter's coming. And what does that have to do with butter? What does that have to do with the price of eggs in China? Well, enhancing the brain. Enhancing brain function. Now, of course, the scripture says things, and Yahweh intends for you to take it seriously. And, of course, it says, eat butter and honey. Remember to eat your butter and your honey. And people say, well, butter's slick and honey is sweet, and this is a parable of some kind. So they do away with that bit of information, that bit of wisdom. The key to having a healthy brain function is to give your brain an optimal energy supply. Well, guess where you get it? For those of you wanting to optimize your brain performance, not to mention decrease inflammation. Now remember this word, inflammation. What's going on in most people right now is inflammation is forming in their gut or someplace in their body. Most of it is forming in their gut first by two things, pork and STDs. Both of them go to your gut, and that's where it lives. Some of them go to your brain, and they start eating the tissues that surround the cells in your brain. They love that stuff. And they start gnawing through it, and of course, pretty soon they reach a cell. Before that, they uncover your nerves. Getting to it, they uncover a layer that guards your nerve cells. Now, your nerves, if you've studied microbiology very much, you'll find out that your nerves is what carries the signal to your finger that says, give it this. But it also carries the signals to your mouth and says, eat this food. No, I didn't say eat your tongue. Stop eating your tongue. Well, he couldn't help it. Now, this is how bad it will get. Yes, this is just some of the diseases that starts down here in your gut or your colon, started by pork, eating pork, that's one way, but that don't cause the full thing. Pork and STDs mixed together cause cancer. Big time. Inside your body. Those of you who want to, well, give brain performance, not to mention decrease inflammation in your gut and heart, also in your heart, inflammation. People start having heart attacks, they start having strokes, and of course they run to the doctors, and the doctors put them on you know what, and some of them give them clickers and so forth. Well, where did that start? Eating pork, that's the one thing. And you don't even have to eat pork. You can get it from others. This is a new science that we're finding out now, that is finding out what we've been saying for years. Go around them. Rub elbows with them. And yes, you'll get it. The larva that comes from pork. Then we got a new sexually transmitted disease. Not very new, but I told you about it years ago, called chlamydia. Chlamydia now, when it gets in your body, it leaves a lesion wherever it travels, and it likes to travel. Where are you going, Satan? Where you been? All to and fro, just traveling to and fro. Well, you got a buddy here that's traveling to and fro in the body. And of course, wherever it goes, it leaves a lesion. It opens the gate, a door, for the bacteria to enter to cause the inflammation that they talked about to begin with. The heart. It is necessary to eat more fat from butter. Let me read that sentence again. For those of you wanting to optimize your brain performance, not to mention decrease inflammation in your gut and heart, it is necessary to eat more fat from butter. Did everybody hear it? Butter is now considered by many to be the new superfood. Why didn't they know that to begin with when Yahweh said, eat your honey and butter? Did you hear that? Butter is now considered to be the new superfood. Because they're finally looking into it, With a radio microscope that they can actually send microwaves to any bug, no matter how small, and it'll form an image for them to print out on paper. Well, now they're seeing what Yahweh saw and told his disciples and his prophets about, so they could tell you what was taking place. I knew all of these things, if you remember, and broadcast them before science came out with it. Butter is now considered by many to be the new superfood, even though it has been used for at least 4,500 years. How did we get so far removed from fat? This is really interesting, so listen close. One of the early campaigns against fat began when Dwight D. Eisenhower, I was alive and saw this man working, was diagnosed with heart disease in 1955. I was 21 years old at that time. 1955. His team of scientists and doctors, including the staunch fat crusader, Ansel Keys, concluded that saturated fat from butter caused his chronic disease. What a laugh. Now here's the scripture, as it does salt. And I stood up for salt many years ago. I said, no, salt is clean. Salt is healthy. What makes you think so? Because the scripture says it is. Well, now science knows that it's one of the healthiest things you can get. That, hey, y'all, gets in your mind and your brain. It gives you energy, gives you peace within, as the Savior said. Well, butter does the same. The then president was put on a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet of dry toast and Sanka. Y'all remember Sanka? I hated that stuff. My brother went to it because some health quack said it was healthier, and because it started by Eisenhower's doctors, who was supposed to know what they were talking about. I took a sip of it, and I said, I don't think I want it. I'm going to stick with coffee if I drink anything. Coffee is very healthy, by the way. Only the critics, only the people who want to sell Sanka condemn coffee, I think. The then president was put on low-fat, low-cholesterol diet of dry toast and Sanka for breakfast and only one egg per week. One egg per week. Even though his total cholesterol was 165 at the time of his heart attack. Even with this strict dietary program now, Eisenhower's total cholesterol continued to rise up to 259. The day he left office, he was also diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Now, Crohn's disease, this is where the let me see if I had an article. This Crohn's disease, if I can find it, if I can't, I'll bring it the next time. I better bring it the next time. Take me too long. Anyway, he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease on May the 10th, 1956, Crohn's disease on May the 10th, 1956, and Eisenhower continued to have several more heart attacks and eventually died of heart disease. Even with his new diet, President Eisenhower's disease were caused by chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation. Well, what gives you chronic inflammation? That's the bacteria and STDs and, of course, trichina from eating pork. No one thought to take him off of pork, by the way. They said, well, maybe it's carbohydrates. Sure. Chronic inflammation. Research shows that inflammation from pork and STDs, I added that. Irritable bowel syndrome, that's their words. Joint pain, fibromyalgia, and brain fog. Now, all of these things are caused by pork larva, trichina larva, that gets in your gut, then bores into your bloodstream. It's carried to the brain, not even speaking of the harm that it does to your gut before it gets to your brain, but there it sets up homestead in your brain. Now, you could have got it the last time you went to the supermarket and bought what you thought was a clean steak or something that was being handled there by the supermarket like the Jews do, the people they call Jews. There's no such thing as a Jew. It's an evil word. It's like so many other slurring words that people give to other people they don't like. Hebrew people, yes, they get it too. How do they get it? They don't eat pork. I'll show you. Bear with me. Brain fog, all caused from pork worms, STDs, herpes, syphilis, and gonorrhea. All of these things mixed with pork can cause this, what I'm speaking of right now, as I'll prove to you. If you have inflammation, then the digestive process is greatly induced or reduced, and your brain function will suffer. Do you get that? If you have this, you're going to suffer. about 70% of your immune cells are aimed at the gut to expel and kill foreign invaders. With the amount of genetically modified and chemically laden foods that we are exposed to, our immune system overreacts to even healthy food sometimes. For nutrients to get to your brain, they have to first be digested in the gut. If you have inflammation, then the digestive process is greatly reduced and your brain function will suffer. Now, all of this could be taking place in your gut right now. And you young people that think you're so strong and healthy, you may have it right now. You may be harboring it right now. And if Yahweh doesn't cleanse you, then you will suffer it and you will witness it big time unless you do what I tell you to do. First thing you need to do is start sympathizing and see other people who are suffering from this and say, I don't want it. I don't want to be a part of this world. I don't, not ever again. That Yahweh wants to hear from you. The new science shows that our brains perform better by using fat as a fuel source rather than glucose. Just like electric wires need insulation to cover energy, so do the nerves in your brain. Now, this is what I was telling you about a while ago, that these things, the bacteria, they love this stuff. And they like to eat away at this covering that cover the brain cells. And they chew on it and chew on it and chew on it till they get through into a brain cell. And that's when you start doing crazy things. You need to put together information for creativity, memory storage, and for name recall, or the date of your anniversary when the Malan Seath, that's the thing that covers the nerves. Now, it's a layer that covers the nerves, that these things like herpes, but also the bacteria that live with the pig worms love to eat at. Fully lubricated thoughts and words from form faster, and you feel more clarity. You will also be using ketones as your primary brain food, which is your brain's preferred source. Truth about butter. This is the second article. Truth about butter. Butter provides you with loads of vitamin A to support thyroid and adrenal function. It also contains liquid acid, which keeps fungal growth down in your gut. Butter contains lecithin, which is essential for cholesterol metabolism and is a great source of vitamin E, K, and D. Butter is used by the body as an energy source and is a high source of iodine. It also helps in children's brains. It also helps in the children's brains. Yes, get them on butter and honey. Don't forget the honey. And nervous system. It also helps in the children's brain and nervous system development. But the best part about butter is that it tastes great. Unlike the artificial. For children, it's better coming from goat's milk because it's easy to digest. Goat's milk sells for, in Kmart right now, you can get it for $14, a little over $14 a gallon. $14 a gallon. Whee! They told me it was $6 and something, almost $7 for a half gallon. there. But it's over $14 a gallon. That's the cheapest place we found it. At HEB. You need it. If you can't afford it, let us know. We'll help you. Your children need it. When shifting one's diet to using healthy fats as a primary fuel source, the improvement in memory by 40% is often shown, as well as strength, sleep improvements. The ideally 50 to 70% of your calories should be from healthy fats such as butter. 20 to 25% should be healthy proteins, such as clean meats. 20 to 25% from healthy carbohydrates. Fruits and small amounts of starches, such as potatoes and so forth. Well, you know what carbohydrates are. Here's a picture I want you to see. Yeah, what is that? If you notice those little horns, that's his teeth, and his mouth is right in the middle of that where he sucks your blood. But that's the pig worm, the pig tapeworm. In the Orthodox Hebrew community, how in the world would it get there? Orthodox Hebrew community. A few months back, Carl Zimmerman published a short article on the startling widespread prevalence of neurocysteroses, the larva infective form of the pig tapeworm. Trichna is a short form that just so happened, it says, to infect the human brain. Now, see, they didn't know this back when I worked in the lab. They didn't know it when the health books was written in the fourth grade. I remember the fourth grade health book saying, cook your bacon really crispy because it has trichinosis in it. Well, I found out later, of course, that the trichinosis lays an egg that they call a larva that doesn't die with high heat. So when it gets into your body, it hatches out slowly in your body. There's a lot of things that heat doesn't kill. Otherwise, there would be no life close to the sun, and there's life close to the sun. In extreme heat coming out of the earth, the bottoms of the earth. Let's see. Widespread larva, human brain. Check it out, but beware. You will be learning about a parasite that gives unwelcome deep tissue massages in your gray matter, and you will see photographic evidence of it. You can get this on film, and I've got it ordered, so we'll play it later. The real trouble with this pig parasite, aside from a distressing appearance in your cerebral headquarters, is that you can acquire neurocystosis even if you don't consume pork products. This is the surprise kicker. The mouth of the adult pork tapeworm, Trichna, the tapeworm typically lives in the intestines of pigs, but may infect those that eat pork. The larvae produced by the adult worm are passed in the feces and may go on to infect the organs and tissues of humans. Now, if you think about this pork, and of course it's in the feces, they don't always get all this off of the pork, and of course when they chop it up and put it, especially they say in that the hamburger that you get in the store. You don't know what you're getting. And I don't know what the ads I've seen that says that very thing. They say when you eat a hamburger at a hamburger joint, you really don't know what you're getting. When you eat a pizza at a pizza joint, you really don't know what you're getting. And, of course, the employees there, they practice being filthy and slipping things in foods that people buy. This occurred just recently, and a woman tasted the hamburger. It tasted odd. She said something to the manager. The manager put her off, so she went to the health department, found out it, but that she had just caught a mouthful of herpes. Yes. And the doctor says, too bad. Once you get it, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, her mouth broke out in blisters, of course. Now she's got a miserable thought because she knows now what all herpes can do. It mixes in, reactivates over and over and over till it finds something it can relate to. And once it gets married inside your body, then it starts activating and raising a family of whatever. Once it's mutated, it could come out to be anything. The same thing when people mix with seals or beasts of any kind or fish. The same thing takes place. You don't even know what's taking place at the time. You know, you can't see it. You can't see those microorganisms. But when you do this, you know, these things are transferred and they go into your body. Go into your body and they come up into your heart, your stomach, your guts, everywhere. They invade your body and they're there. And then who knows what your body will be later and what your children will be later. I could show you pictures where, you know, a child or children, it'd make you sick. Instead of eyeballs, they have these red, pussy-looking things coming out the eye holes. They don't have ears, some of them. Their mouth is deformed. They have doctors now and scientists that are trying to make false ears and false noses, trying to make the babies look like a human being, where people won't be disgusted when they see it. This took place in Germany big time when Hitler started what he thought was a super group of people. Sickliest bunch of people on earth. This is understandably alarming for people who choose not to eat pork, but what if your culture and religion prohibits it, its very consumption, and you still get it? Well, the Hebrews that are kosher and adhere to not eating pork in their diet, not having it in their diet because of the laws in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, they don't eat it. And lo and behold, a bunch of them all the time. This is going on all the time. They're coming down with infection from pork larvae. Well, their science is now to where they can see this stuff. And, of course, they can take x-rays and they can know exactly what's in your brain, or at least some of it. They haven't secured the whole thing yet. It's not perfect, but they can see a bunch of it. And what they're seeing is they can actually see this pork larva in your brain, in your gut, and so forth, in your body. Living in New York City in the early 90s, when isolated cases, this is when they first came out with radiology and started studying the microorganisms, and they have done great. They haven't got to the point where they can see all that you're seeing so far in the Holy Scriptures, but they're seeing parts of it right now, and it's alarming to them. New York City in the 90s, when isolated cases of neurocystosis arose in the community, In the summer of 1991, three practitioners of the Orthodox Hebrew faith appeared on separate occasions in local New York hospitals with recent seizures. Radiology showed evidence of brain lesions. Now, remember this, because you saw the teeth. I showed you a picture of it. And it has these claw-like grippers where it actually grips your flesh like that, punctures a hole, and then it starts sucking your blood. And the microorganisms from that microorganism goes into your bloodstream. Now, this is what Isaiah said, talking about the priest who eats swine's flesh. They have the broth of abominable things in their vessels, in their blood vessels. And Gesenius says that is blood vessels. Well, they cause lesions, little cuts, that were soon identified as crustacea, the larva from the pig tapeworm that had found protective cyst formed, that had formed protective cyst within the brain. Most peculiarly, the patients were all absent of any of the risk factor that increased susceptibility to neurocystosis, consumption of the pork product. Examining now the related family to these people that had the seizures, members of the original three patients identified an additional seven people from two families that showed positive antibodies to the infection, known as seropositivity, including a fourth person that had experienced a seizure, sending them to the ER. The life cycle of the pork tapeworm. Infection with the tapeworm is strongly associated with pig husbandry, along with poor hygiene. I think the poorest hygiene is practiced when you don't come out of the world. And I think we really need to put some thought into this, coming out of the world. You can't rub shoulders with them. You can't rub elbows with them, you know. And I know you got to live with them if you work with them, but you better start wearing protection, I can tell you for sure, or you will be in the crew here. Accidentally ingested eggs can result in larvae that migrate throughout the body, eventually forming cyst. Imagine, now the Center for Disease Control is the one that's putting this out, and they show a picture here of the routine coming from the pork into the man's mouth, coming on around to the eyes and parts of the organs of the body. What occurred in this case was the Hebrews that live in New York City that had these seizures, they had workers, as all of them do. And this has been going on for years, but they didn't know how they were getting these seizures that come from pork. Most people get them and they don't even pay any attention to it. They just know they're sick. And they go ahead and put it off and till the next sickness. Pretty soon they get to feeling better and they think it's all over. But these people went to the best doctors in the world. They saw what was in them and they just couldn't figure it out. Why is this in me? Well, they finally tracked it down. The Hebrews in New York that this test came from, hard maids. And, of course, those workers, they were not Hebrew. And they paid them a cheap wage to do their cooking, to take care of their children, all the vital parts that should have been protected, you know. And of course, this is where it was coming from. And and that's not going to change. The man at the end of the article, he says, after all, we've got to live in this world. We all have our own celebrities, observance, and rituals that we like to think, maintain our health and well-being, from washing our hands, splashing bleach around in bathrooms and kitchens, or even following certain dietary restrictions. But however septic and sanitized you live your day-to-day life, the reality is that we live in a world and with other people, our co-workers, our friends, the people who serve us food in restaurants, the people we drink with at the bar, the children our kids play with, in short, everyone, he says. Well, Yahweh says, come out from among them and be you separate. My time is up, but if you don't mind, I think I'll go just a little bit further here. I'm glad you agree. Medical today, Alzheimer's risk double in people with herpes virus. Well, of course, this is just what I was talking about a while ago. Herpes is a sexually transmitted disease. And of course, they say 90% of the people have it. I say 100% of the people have it. You can't be without it in today's world. You know, all of our past has been rubbing elbows with the world, you know. And I realize that some will probably leave because I brought this out, but you are expected to start trying to come out of this world, brethren. We're really getting close to the end right now. If you have to go out there, there are certain oils that will help protect you. It won't help you completely, and if you get something to eat out there, you won't be protected at all. You can't stick this stuff in your mouth and eat it without getting these things that Yahweh says don't touch. If you remember, I certainly want to bring this two scriptures in. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians, if I can find it. But the person who is united to Yahweh and one with him in spirit, no, that's not it. Flee sexual immorality, yes, that's part of it. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the sanctuary of the Spirit of Yahweh, Spirit Holy, which is supposed to be? It's supposed to be. You know, the words of Yahweh. Got it? The Spirit Holy. This Spirit is the Word of Yahweh. It's the laws that guide us. Don't eat pork. That's one of them. That's a spirit that's in you right now guiding you that comes from Yahweh. Have form Yahweh. Or do you not know that your body is the sanctuary of the Spirit Holy in you, which you have from Yahweh? And you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify Yahweh in your body. And keep it well, in other words. Keep your body well. Now look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. For I fear when I come, I may not find you as I would want, and that you may not find me as you want me to be, that there may be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, fiction, slander, backbiting, gossip, arrogance, and uproar. He doesn't want to find the people this way, he says, but there may be. Now look at the next verse. And that when I come again, my Father may humble me before you, and I will mourn for many who have sinned previously and have not repented of the uncleanness. Not repent. You see, this is something you need to repent of the uncleanness. Uncleanness. He says in Leviticus 11, don't touch these things. It'll make you unclean. These are unclean animals. Don't touch them. But also sexual impurities. Lasciviousness. No, you don't have a license to sin. You have a license to study the Holy Scriptures. That's what Yahweh tells you to do. And to become perfect as Yahweh is perfect. Now, this is a world. Yes, we're living in this world, but we're being judged by how much we try to come out of this world. Look at, Acts says, repent. And this says, I'm fearful that you will not have repented. Now, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Do not be unequally yoked together. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, why not? Because they'll bring this uncleanness to you. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, you saw what took place in New York with Hebrews who was eating clean meats, and they do go to extremes to try to produce it. But they had the unclean coming in cooking for them. Why? Because they wanted to get cheap labor. They wanted to get cheap labor instead of neither did they teach the people. You know, if they'd have been teaching the people, they'd have probably saw why they did this. But they don't have sense enough to teach anyway. You can see that from what they've come to have righteousness with unrighteousness. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Messiah and Belial? Worthlessness, Satan. Or what share does a believer have with an infidel? Untrustworthy, not faithful, not true, nor loyal. And what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with the gods? Well, all of this is coming from the evil, being evil like the gods, as Satan says in Genesis 3, verse 5. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their father and they will be my people. So, look at verse 17 now. Therefore, remember what he just said here, and come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now look at the next verse. If we don't start working towards this, brethren, he won't receive us. And that's what he's saying in verse 18. Before I start making an effort, if you will continue striving, we will find a way. Yahweh's fixing to open us a great door. And once that door is opened, then we will have the help we need. We will have all the resources at our disposal. If we start now, we'll be able to handle it. If we don't, we will be sick and diseased and give those who come here our sickness and disease. We can cleanse. There's ways of cleansing. That's one of the best things you can do for your health is cleanse. There's ways of getting rid of these things, not by taking shots. The antibiotics that they give you, brother, they take of the filth of the earth. They make it from the filth of the earth. I just brought that out to you last week. And they shoot it in your veins, hoping it will go in and kill something. Well, what's it going to do after it kills it? It's going to turn to a mutated form of something else. And, of course, it just keeps multiplying in the blood vessels of the people's bodies. It's a serious thing. The world is sick, and it's getting sicker every day. 90%, you know, of just one disease. How many of them have the rest of these diseases? They all got them. They're out there, and everybody's got them. The hospitals, they can't build them fast enough anymore. They're full and running over, and they're telling the people to go home or go somewhere, go to their pharmacy or somebody. But they can't handle all the sickness and disease that's coming in, and they're saying, you know, that they're getting worse. Gonorrhea, you know, we thought we had it whipped back in 1951 with penicillin. And penicillin won't even touch it now. It's a very strong disease. So is syphilis. It's mutated with all of these things inside the human body. And it comes out through your body. And it gets on different things and goes to different people. You go and buy a steak from a steakhouse. There's no telling what was smeared on that steak that you're eating. And hamburgers too, pizzas, whatever it is. You know, I would be very careful about doing anything that I couldn't inspect before I ate it. And you won't be able to from start to finish. There's a way of coming out of the world. Just work towards it. And the house of Yahweh will guide you step by step if you'll just start doing it. But protect your health. The only way you can protect your health, you know, we teach it. The only way you can get rid of this is cleanse. Cleanse inside and out. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!